Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to take a few moments and share with you a few scriptures. And if you're visiting this morning, glad that you're here. There will be something in this, for everybody. But this message this morning, I just want you to know from the start, it's predominantly for people who call New Life Assembly of God Church their home. The principles apply to all of us, no matter where our home church is or if we don't have a home church. But I want you to know this morning, though it's for all of us, it's specifically for those of us who say, you know, New Life is my home church. And so I want to share some scriptures with you. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. The whole passage, of course, fits together there, but I just want to look at this verse. And I'm going to put a few verses together this morning that you may not naturally have flow together, but with what God is doing in this church and in the people of this church, and those who come and, you know, are here, and these verses are going to fit together nicely. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this: if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Or maybe in your translation it says infidel. You have to understand that when this was originally written, their custom and culture was a little different than ours, and so they had family structures that had to do with taking care of the generations. Okay? We do it a little different here in the United States and in this day and age than in history. I don't want you to, you know, have this big family dispute and all of a sudden all the great-grandparents and grandparents start moving into your house saying, hey, you know, it's our turn to be freeloaders. You know, that's not the point of the passage of what we're talking about. But the part that I want us to look at and where we're going this morning is about how the adults or the parents in the home are to provide for their family. And that if we do not do that as Christians, the kids are having a great time. Did you hear them? Oh, that was good. Wait till they become adults and then they'll be like us. Okay. The part I want us to look at is as a parent or father or mother, we begin to care and provide for all the needs of our household or our family. And as a Christian, if we do not do that, then we are denying God, His plan, His purpose. Now, I want to be careful here because maybe you're in this room and you're saying, wait a minute, you know, I lost my job, the economy's tough. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to follow me. So this is not a judgment. If you're in this room and right now you are unemployed and you had a job and it was lost because of economic reasons, those kind of things. So please do not take this if you're in the pew saying, oh yeah, well, you know, there's a reason and I'm a believer and you're getting your back up against the wall. That is not the intention of this. We're supposed to provide for the needs of our family and do what we can to do that. If we do not do that, we've denied Christ, what Christ is about, the priorities of God in our life. Okay? Now, I want us to translate that principle, that purpose, to this family. Because the church is Christ's body. We say God's family. In fact, some of you, through faith in Christ, there are people in this room who are closer to you because of your Christian faith that you have and that you share together, that there are people actually in this room that are closer to you than your natural family. And so as a church, we're supposed to provide and take care of church family. Now, I want to pause here because some of you are starting letting your mind go another direction, saying, hey, great, if I become of the church, become part of the church, I don't have to work and they're just going to take care of me. That's not what it's saying either. In the context of where we're going this morning, we in our own homes want to take care of our children. We want to nurture them. We want to instruct them. We want to discipline them. We want to love them. We want to forgive them. We do not want to exasperate our children, right? We do not want to embitter our children. That's what it talks about. I would normally be yelling at this point anyhow. Don't worry about it. No, someone save me. I'll tell you, I miss having small children, but those moments I don't miss. I've got to tell you, though, I'm so thankful for noise like that. I really am. I want you to know, I paused here, but that does not bother me at all. So don't let it bother you. I love children, and I want children all over this church. And that's what part of this morning's about. You see, in our own homes, we're supposed to provide and take care of the needs of our children and our family. But now in the context of the church, we are supposed to provide and take care of the children of this church. If we don't do that, we can come in and sing songs, and we can shout Jesus, and we can speak in tongues, but if we do not take care of the needs of the church family, then we have actually, even in the midst of our tongues and shouting Jesus' name, we have denied Christ, and we become worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. That's what Paul's writing Timothy. You know, in Luke chapter 10, and this is where we're going to put together some verses. You think, oh, where's he going? I want you to catch this. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus is talking. He says, the harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers to go into the harvest field. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. And now we, as a church, we want to evangelize. We want to spread the good news of the gospel. We give money to missions. We give money to those involved in evangelism. We encourage people that we've encouraged through Sunday mornings, Wednesdays, all these kind of things, to continue to share the gospel, work the soil so God's word through your life falls on good soil in people's hearts. We've talked about that. And we'll continue to talk about it because it needs to continue to be at the forefront of who we are as a Christian and a disciple. But I want you to know that the harvest that's plentiful is not just out there. We've got a harvest field and an evangelism field right here inside of God's house in our children. We don't have to look far. They're right here. Lord, raise up laborers to go into the harvest field. It's not just out there. It's not just getting pumped up in here and then walking out and going, oh, I'm out in the marketplace and now I got to show you. Listen, there are people in this building right now who need you and I to live out and talk and share Jesus Christ. There's people in this room. But there's children throughout this building. And we are supposed to take care of the needs of our own family. I've heard this said by so many people. And I'm not in that stage of life yet. But you are empty nesters. And you have said, oh, when they leave home, yeah, you know, and you miss them, but boy, it's really good. And you know, wife and I reconnect, and, you know, and all these things, and you look forward to it, and all this. And then you come back and you say this: however, we've discovered that our parenting, it just never ends. They've moved out, but we're still not done parenting. And somehow, some way, that can happen in God's family. Our personal kids move out, but I want to remind you, you're in this family, you got a whole lot of kids left. And you're parenting, and you're modeling, and you're investing, and your instruction, and your care, and your funding. Hey, it still needs to happen right here in God's house. If we do not take care of our children, our youth, and our own homes, we would be a mockery. And as a church, we would be the same. And we pray, Lord of the harvest, raise up laborers to go into the harvest field. But I want you to know there's a harvest field that's right here within our own family and our own church. Psalm 127, verse 3, it says this, that children are an inheritance from the Lord. Now, I want you to know, as a parent, there are days where I've not understood that verse. Just like my parents probably didn't always understand that verse because, you know, I had terrible siblings. I was, you know, always very kind and easy to raise. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Obviously, that part was not under the anointing. Children are an inheritance from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. This wonderful inheritance. Do you remember Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son? He asked for his inheritance, and then he went and squandered it. And if you and I do not take care of the inheritance that was given us in our children, then we have squandered. We have squandered the inheritance on our own selfish living. Because that's what the prodigal son did. He took his inheritance and went and squandered it. And you and I receive this inheritance of children from the Lord into our own family and into God's family. They are an inheritance from the Lord. When I came here, I told you, those of you who were here, that would be half of you, thereabouts, I said, I'm going to start praying for babies. We want children. We want kids all over here. It wasn't just because I love kids. It has to do with the principle that children are an inheritance and a blessing and a sign of God's blessing into our life and into the church. He's answered. And those of you who have escaped it so far, I'm still praying. Not looking at any people particular. They're an inheritance from the Lord. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, it says a master distributed some talents. And to the third person he gave one talent. And while he was away, they were supposed to take this talent, this value, and it was supposed to be invested and multiplied. You're supposed to do something with it. And when the master came back, the person who had one talent answered and said, "You're back, master. Listen, I went and buried the talent, so here, it's back." No investment into what was given. And God said, take it away from him and give it to the person who was faithful with talents and multiplied and invested and was fruitful. You and I in this room, God's family, we are supposed to take care of our inheritance from the Lord, and we are supposed to invest. We're supposed to provide. We're supposed to nurture. We're supposed to take these children as an inheritance from the Lord and invest in them, nurture them, provide for them, work with them, be patient with them. I'll tell you one of my favorite scenes in the church is when I'm coming out of the hallway in the lobby and two or three kids are just full tilt, just running through. And there's an adult who turns to say, hey, stop running in the church. I love that scene. Because granted that, you know, it's probably not safe for them just to bolt through here and weaving around big people. The other part is, kids will be kids. Praise God. I wish some adults could run through the hallways of this church with the same kind of excitement and passion. Just telling. We're supposed to provide for the needs of a family. If we don't, we deny the gospel. We deny Christ. We deny our faith. We're supposed to pray, Lord of the harvest, raise up laborers to go into this harvest field. And you and I know that faith and works go together. And you and I in this room have a responsibility, whether we are empty nesters or not. These children are an inheritance from the Lord to us, to me, to you. Or are we going to squander our inheritance, live reckless and selfish lives? Are we going to bury the talents? Listen, the children's ministry specifically, and youth is included because they're part of our children. Though at teenagers, you don't like to be called a child. But the children, and the children's ministry in any church is the largest lay ministry in any church. It's the largest lay ministry because it takes so many adults to monitor, care, and nurture children. It does. Listen, one adult can be in here with all of these people. If you were all children, I'm dead. I'll be bald. I'll be tied up. I'll be duct taped. And it's total chaos. So thank you for being kind to me. You know how many children, how many adults it takes just to teach a class of 6 or 8 children? It takes a teacher and one person running around trying to keep track of them all. No, they finally just sit down. 1 or 2 got to go to the bathroom. Who's going to take them? Got one teacher in the room. Who's going to take them? You know what happens? Okay, everybody, you know, like the daycare, grab the rope. We're going down the hallway. Okay, I know that the 7 out of 8 of you don't need to go, but so-and-so does. So we're going to wait out here. And the one goes in, and the teacher's half in and half out. You need help. You need help. Please don't go anywhere. Well, then the rope's all tangled around the water fountain. They're all spitting and pushing each other. I mean, you know how many adults it takes? And it's not babysitting. It's investing. It's teaching the Word of God. It's teaching Scripture. It's allowing fun. It's allowing friendships. It's allowing relationships. It's cultivating. It is family living. God's growing this church and maturing us. And he's bringing an increase in number. And he's brought in young families. And he's blessed people with babies and children and grandchildren. And we want to celebrate and we want to do those things. Hallelujah. But you know what? You and I in this room still have a responsibility. And we can pray, Lord of the harvest, raise up laborers. But I want you to know that his call is coming to us in this room. Because if we do not care for them and nurture them and teach them and involve ourselves, then we've denied the faith. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care if you cast out demons. You know, there was a lot of people who did that stuff and came to Jesus and said, but I did all this stuff in your name. And he said, yeah, but I didn't know you. I never knew you. You and I need to put faith and works together. And there are people in this room, you are not involved in ministries of this church, and you call this your home. I'm going to tell you something. There's an inheritance the Lord has given you that maybe you've never thought about. But it's the children of this church. It's the youth of this church. It's time for you to put the works with your faith and the works with the prayers. Oh, yeah, please, no, not the nursery. I hate changing diapers. Well, I don't know anybody in this room who's going to jump out of their seat and say, oh, I'll do it. I just love that. Come on. Nobody gets excited about that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear anybody. I should just keep moving along. Yeah, if it's a diaper joke, forget it. You know, we can come up with all the reasons. I can come up with them. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord has blessed this church and He's blessed this place. He's blessing us with people and children as an inheritance. And we can talk about revival. And you can talk about outpourings. And you can talk about all of these things. But unless we're taking care of our own family, we've denied the faith. Now I know there's some of you in this room, you don't belong in children's ministry or youth ministry. I understand that. Okay? There's other ministries and things that you can be involved in. I want us to be a healthy church, not just a growing church. It's not just about quantity. It's about health. And we're healthy, the quantity will come, and the increase comes, and growth comes. But growth is not always a sign of being healthy. Don't mistake the two. We want to be a healthy church, not denying our faith because we squandered and overlooked an inheritance from the Lord, or that we buried it, talents, we didn't invest. I'm going to tell you this. You think, well, Pastor, this just sounds like a sales pitch for a bunch of us to get involved in the children's ministry. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is a housekeeping need. And you know what? This is our family meeting. And this is the word of the Lord. And you want to hear some revival preaching. I can give you that. But not at the compromise of us upholding principles. I can get excited and spit and do all that kind of stuff, kick the microphone across the platform. You think that's the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you something. The Holy Ghost is on this morning because He's doing something. He's brought blessing. And it's time for you and I to step up to the plate and respond to the blessing. And there are those of you in this room, you need to be calling this church and saying, okay, I can serve once a month. I can't be the total teacher, but, you know, I can be a helper to somebody, or I can do this, or I can, you know, where do you need help? Well, I didn't provide sign-up lists out in the lobby so you could walk out of here and go, oh, I just feel so guilty and compelled. I'm not trying to get you to feel guilty. I want you to respond to God's blessing, because if we are faithful with little, then we will be entrusted and faithful with much. These are people's lives. I don't care what their stature is. They're people. And Jesus came to rescue them. I'm going to tell you this. We don't take care of the needs of our children. They're going to grow up and they're going to leave our home. and we squandered it, and then we're going to scratch our heads and wonder, oh, gee, you know, why'd they do this, and what'd they turn into? And then you go through all this regret. Listen, I sit with empty nesters. If I would have just done this, and I would have, you know, if I would have been a Christian, or if I would have adhered to the Lord, or if I would have... I don't want us as a church to someday look back and say, if we would have only... You and I need to respond in faith and in faithfulness to the Lord's blessing into our life and the inheritance. Invest in it. We hear phrases about, you know, they're the church of today. I got news for you. You're the church of today. Unless you're done breathing. If you're done breathing and you're here, then you are the church, you know, of yesterday. You're over. You're done. Go wait for the rest of us. You're the church of today. And they're the church of today. We're not the church of tomorrow. Because I don't know about the tomorrows that come. We can plan for it, but we are the church of today, and we're supposed to live today, because tomorrow may never come. Don't put off till tomorrow what? Other than mowing my grass today, I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. And if Jesus comes, it won't matter. Yeah. You and I, we profess Christ. Then we are to take care of our own family and be kind to others. But invest, care, work, labor, pray. You say, yeah, but you know, this is supposed to be ministry. I've been in some of those children classes and all. I feel like I didn't get anything done. Hey, I know exactly how you feel. I feel like that sometimes after Sunday morning. Now we're just going to let that one sit. We do this unto the Lord. It is better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And if they do not see the faith living in us and living out of us, influencing their life, then they will walk out and say, went to church as a kid, went through all that stuff, watch these adults, and you know what? Didn't really mean a thing to me. Seems like a bunch of baloney. I'm going to go do my own thing. It is better for us to have had a millstone tied around the neck of new life and to cast into the sea than to not take care of or cause them to stumble. Let's stand, please, all over this room. We want to be healthy. You can't just pray and not do anything. And you can't just do stuff without praying, because you're asking blessing on a bunch of your good ideas that God never gave you, and you're saying, oh, please bless it, please bless it, please bless it, and this is what I mean. You never prayed and heard from heaven. It needs to be healthy. We need to pray and hear from heaven, and we need to also do something about it. There's children's church, children's classes, youth, there's activities, there's events, there's all of these things. All to take care of the inheritance that you and I have been blessed with, so that we'll not be squandered or won't be snatched away and given to someone else who's being faithful. This is about building the kingdom of heaven. This is not about building the kingdom of new life. I use it as this is our home church because this is where you and I live. This is where you and I pray. This is where you and I worship. This is where you and I sweat. This is where you and I struggle. This is where you and I work out our faith. Okay? So I'm just using it within the context of new life. But it's about the kingdom of God. But this is the part of the vineyard that we have responsibility in. I would love to defy the truth of the studies that say it's always 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. We know that that's the fact. We know that that's the studies, whether it's in business or churches or where else. Whereas God would view into this church where we live, that he could begin to see the percentages change. We're not looking to burn anybody out. We're just all looking to be the kingdom of God, raising a child together. Some of you in this room, you can think about somebody who took time for you. Your parents. I remember when I was a kid, there was a lady in our neighborhood. It was two blocks over, block and a half over. She held a VBS in her home. She was an older woman. She lived by herself. And the word got around the neighborhood. And we would come over there and learn scripture verses and do stuff that kids do that interests children. I'm 45-ish. I still remember that. I'm sure she's dead and gone. Because she looked pretty close then. But I'm telling you, that woman's got reward. And she did it because she had faith. And here's this 45-year-old kid who still remembers it. I remember the Hartnells. My hometown, the Assembly of God Church there. There's a couple of us that cause them more headaches. That Sunday school class, and they'd teach and they'd pour their life and they'd study. It was always fun when they did Bible baseball, though. I don't know if any of you ever remember what that is. You know, it's where you had teams and you had questions and you had to answer. It was just a creative way of doing it. I'm going to tell you something. I remember that. I remember that still. I remember a youth pastor who took time for me. Because they didn't want to squander this inheritance to them. Doesn't look like much of an inheritance, but they didn't want to squander it. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Listen, I'm not preaching out of the side of my mouth. I've skipped out on something that I should have been doing something else as senior pastor of this church, but the teacher didn't show up in a classroom. I took it. That's not pat me on the back. I'm just telling you, I'm not talking out of the side of my mouth here. I had a lot of fun. Those screaming little girls drove me nuts. But I loved it. I did. I loved it. In that tiny little classroom, I think we had 12 kids that day. That classroom was built for like 8. Don't let the limitations of this facility limit our involvement or limit the inheritance. Because you know what? Here's the fact of the matter. Room starts getting too small and we got too much going on and all that kind of stuff. We need to have a creative schedule, or you know what? We're going to spend money and build something. Don't get all, oh, no, debt. We're gonna. I didn't say we're building. I just said, you know, we'll do what we have to do. Okay? The God's going to lead us there. He's going to provide. Just the way it is. I'm not bent out of shape over it. You know what? There's somebody in this room. You need to invest in the inheritance God's blessed you with in this family. Harvest field's right inside these doors. It's not always out there. That phone better be ringing off the hook the next couple weeks. Saying, what can I do in the fall schedule? I got to help. I got once a month, whatever, about substitute. I'll help. I'll partner. I'll be a wanderer. I'll just kind of help where help's needed. Or I'll lock into this class. Or I'm telling you. You know, for those of us who are Christians in this room, been a part of this church for a long time, sometimes you hear a message, and it's, and you think of somebody else in the room, not in a judgmental way, but you think, oh boy, I know this is just, I know this is one of the people it's for in this room. I just hope they respond. Oh God, let them respond. Oh, please help them respond. Do you know that the Holy Spirit feels this very same way about this message this morning and you? Father in heaven, thanks for your word. Thanks for your instruction. Thanks for the blessing and inheritance you've poured forth into this church in years past, but certainly in the recent days. Jesus, change our hearts, change our minds. We want to think like you. We want your kingdom of heaven to come here to earth, that your will would be done here just like it is in heaven. Lord, our only right is the obligation to love you back. So help us love you first and to love the people around us. And Jesus, we know from your very own words, the best way that this world will ever know about you is when they watch us love one another. That we would not deny our faith. So the way we love one another, that all men would know. Help us to be true disciples and to show forth the joy and the glory and the grace and the kindness of Jesus in our homes, with our family, with our church family, with our community, with our workplace, with our classmates, strangers. We want to be the living church. So help me, help us in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, friends, God bless you. I'm so glad you were here today. May the Lord lead you, instruct you, and bless you. Make you effective each day with people around you. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.